1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's news and talk. He's proud to bring you the Rick Chamberlain Show, presented by Bud Light, live from Milano's Pizza, Subs, and Taps. Creating delicious memories since 1969 on Brown Street near the University of Dayton campus. The Rick Chamberlain Show is brought to you by Bud Light. Keep it crisp with Bud Light. Premier Health is proud to be the official healthcare provider for UD Athletics. Learn more at premierhealth.com/sportsmed. Flyer Spirit, the university of student staff destination for authentic Dayton Flyers gear. Hashtag Flyer Spirit. And by University of Dayton Athletics, combining student athletes and fans of championship caliber. Now, here's the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin, and University of Dayton football coach, Rick Chamberlain.
And good evening, everyone, and welcome again to Milano's here on Brown Street and the Rick Chamberlain Show here on the home of the Flyers. Actually, our final edition of the Rick Chamberlain Show this Flyer football season is next Monday night. We'll make the transition to basketball and the first Anthony Grant show of the year, and that will be at Frickers on Woodman Drive. But we're talking football tonight, and we're talking about a Flyer victory. 59-35 over Moorhead, not Moorhead State, 59-35 over Marist on Saturday at Welcome Stadium. And coach, the offense just kept on rolling, and I think defensively, there again, take out a couple plays, pretty solid.
That's exactly what it was like, Larry. I thought we were in control after the middle of the first quarter, towards the end of the first quarter there. In our offense, they were moving the ball, scoring points, and then defensively we were coming up with some plays, third down stops, forcing punts, in which Kyle Butts had some great returns there, had some turnovers. So it was all around a very good game for us in all areas.
Well, you know, and as a case in point about what Dayton was able to do defensively, a member of the Flyer defense, Matt Clifford, who was on this show a week ago, maybe this bodes well for you, Grant, it was the defensive player of the week in the Pioneer Football League for his performance, and he's really come a long way since having to run out there in the middle of the Stetson game. Yeah,
yeah. And that's what Matt's been a very good player for us on special teams, been a good backup behind Tim Simon. And then all at once when Tim got hurt in Stetson, first quarter, middle of the first quarter, all at once Matt was out there. And all at once the game speed, that's different than in practice there. And I really felt that it took Matt just a couple games because he had Stetson and then San Diego, their offense is just so good. But then Moorhead, you could see him starting to grow and have a better feel and having a good football sense of where the ball was going, which you want your safeties to have. And then against Marist here, I thought he really played well.
A week ago, you were not here. You were among the many who was sick after the Moorhead State game. A couple dozen players, half of your coaching staff, down. I mean, not just not feeling good, but violently ill without getting into too many details. How did that affect your week of preparation?
Well, what it did, Larry, was on Tuesday, we had players who had been sick for a couple of days, and then they were able to be out there, but they weren't full go. So it really kind of limited our reps. And then we had players who were still sick, in which it just hurt our depth. Grant could tell you there, for a couple days, we only had three linebackers practicing. And so we really had to put here and there and piecemeal so that we could still have some complete practices. But by Thursday, everybody was healthy enough that we got in a good week. And I tell you, Larry, I have to give credit to our team. I told them we had a really good week of practice. And to overcome all that illness and players not feeling 100% out on the field there during that week, it really showed how tough they are and how much they wanted to get ready for this game.
You know, a lot of times that when you're not feeling your best, it makes you focus a little harder.
Yeah, because now you can't just rely on natural ability or instincts because you're a little sluggish. So you really have to take that extra effort to zero in on what you're supposed to do.
All right. Well, we alluded to some of our student athletes with us here tonight, and it's time to meet them. In fact, the Grant we've been talking about is Grant Dyer, linebacker out of Northern Kentucky. Tell us about your high school background and what brought you to the University of Dayton.
So my senior year, I got a lot of offers out of high school.
Well, tell us about your high school, first of all.
Yeah. Well, Covenant Catholic, that's a great place to go. Great brotherhood there. And kind of feel the sense of it here as well. That's why I chose to go here. And, yeah, it's a great place to go, great school, great athletics, and, yeah.
Just all fell together for you.
Yeah.
What can you remember about your visit when you came and actually set foot on campus?
I would say the community. A lot of people were very nice here, and all the football guys were really, like, they accepted you well. Like, when I came here and on my official, and we went bowling in the hangar over there, and, yeah, it was fun, but very, very welcoming.
All right. We're going to learn more about Grant as the program goes along, both football-wise and away from football. Jay Valley, tight end, Grand Blanc, Michigan, with us here. Jay, tell us about your high school background. What brought you to UD?
Yeah, so I went to Goodrich High School. It was a little farm school right next to Grand Blanc. I graduated with about 200 people. You know, we had just a bunch of guys that were the athletes, loved playing with each other. We'd been playing together. Football, basketball, everything since 6th, 7th grade, and it was just really nice, close-knit community. Everyone knew each other, and I guess going into senior year, I was kind of stopped playing football. I kind of was going to try and go the basketball route, but, you know, God had a different plan, and, you know, I got in touch with Cody Cruz, and he was a coach here a little while ago. He invited me down for a visit. I came down. I saw the facilities. I saw the campus. Of course, the people. Everything about it. Just every other college I'd visited, it'd been like, oh, okay, like, it's a nice place. But as soon as I stepped foot on here, I looked at my mom and I was like, I'm going to go here.
Coach Chamberlain, what is it about small towns in Michigan that you're able to find tight ends?
No, we've got a pipeline, Larry, that all works out there. No, we're very fortunate to have two tight ends like Adam Troutman and Jay. Jay does a fantastic job. We play a lot of two tight end sets like a lot of teams are nowadays. It really keeps your defense off balance. And Jay, I was very happy for him on his touchdown reception this past week. I know he's worked very hard, and finally it came true for him.
That's right. The first score in the Flyers' win over Marist, the first set of 6 points, a touchdown pass from Jack Cook to the aforementioned Jay Valley, and Dayton rolls on to a 59-35 win. We'll talk more about that. We'll also talk more about our two student-athletes, Jay Valley and Grant Dyer, and a look not just at the Marist game, but a look ahead towards a big road game coming up at Drake. A full evening ahead of us right here on the Rick Chamberlain Show, live from Milano's on Brown Street.
A winter weather advisory is in effect in our area. This is 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's news and talk. The Rick Chamberlain Show, live from Milano's Pizza, Subs, and Taps on Brown Street near the UD campus. Hey. 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's news and talk. Here's the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
And welcome back to the Rick Chamberlain Show. Welcome back to Milano's here on Brown Street as the Dayton Flyers now 6-3 on the year after a 59-35 win over Marist. Two games left in this season, one at home. That is coming up a week from Saturday against Butler. And then this coming Saturday, a game at Drake. We'll talk more about that coming up. But going back to the win over Marist, Coach, and I thought, you know, looking at the Morehead State game and the Marist game side by side, I thought it really showed the diversity of your offense, because the game plan against Morehead, very different than the game plan against Marist, but the results were equally effective.
I've always said, Larry, this year and really the last couple years, we have a lot of weapons on offense. teams can't just zero in on a particular player or a particular style of offense that we run. And as you said, against Moorhead, the front, the kind of schemes that they ran, running the ball. That's what we wanted to do, and that's what we were able to do. Against Marist now, a little different, a little sturdier against the run, even though Jake Chisholm had over 150 yards again. But the passing game, we had to be able to put the ball in the air. And with Skibinski and Troutman and Butts, Jack had a lot of people to choose from. And so that's why we were able to move the ball and score the points that we did.
Well, Jay Valley's been a part of that offense all season long, blocking and then, you know, catching the ball, case in point, on Saturday with the first touchdown of the game. And Jay, I know talking to Coach Hoying heading into that Marist game, he was concerned about the fact that they were just so unpredictable because guys are just freelance, for lack of a better term. What did they kind of throw any curveballs at you with what they tried to do defensively Saturday?
I mean, not really. You know, every game we go into, we know we're going to have two guys on Adam Troutman. A lot of the times that opens up other guys. We always scout their tendencies, what coverage they're in, and we always kind of plan to attack their weaknesses there. And it was no different this week. We had a bunch of things lined up, bunch of plays put in that would make us successful against that. And I think there was a couple times that they, based on our formations, we had motions and stuff that they learned really quick that they weren't going to bite on the way we started a formation. They were going to wait till we motioned. And so I think that was one adjustment we made, was halfway through the game, we had Adam split out and we had a little cornerback right on him. We said, well, leave him out there. We're going to throw him a deep ball. We did that twice and they worked both times. So, I mean, just stuff like that. We see personnel-wise what we got, what's in our favor, and we just kind of attack that.
You know, blocking doesn't get the headlines in the sports pages, and you know, and maybe it's tough to maybe even tough for, to get dates. I mean, the girls don't want to go after the guys that are catching the ball, running the ball, not the guys that are opening up the holes. But I mean, this offensive line, and you're part of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you and Adam are part of it because it is a unit. What is it you guys are doing so well that has been so effective?
Just our technique. You know, Coach King has instilled it into us, like, about getting our feet solid in the ground, getting our hands inside, lifting them, just kind of winning that one-on-one battle. We practice that every single day, and I think that has led to our success blocking. I know every single one of the guys, all my roommates are all linemen, so we're always, even when we're in the house, we're playing around, we're doing the board drill with each other. So, but yeah, definitely that technique work of, you know, getting in front of your guy, getting your hands where they need to be, getting your feet where they need to be, that kind of discipline that we've had has led to the success we've had blocking.
All right. Grant Dyer coming off a game in which he led the Flyers in tackles in that win over Marist. And, you know, there again, you know, you're not operating on an island. You're working as part of a group back there, mm-hmm. at linebacker, and then in conjunction with the Flyer back, Zach Rumpke. What was it you guys, what was it you felt you did successfully on Saturday that helped secure that win over Marist?
Just watching film, like, before the game and all that, preparation, and coming into the game, just our coaches harp on it every single week, just staying in your gaps, just building that wall, knowing your assignment, and just doing it. I mean, just transferring it over to the game. And, yeah, it was, yeah.
Coach Chamberlain, you know, you've been striving for consistency, mm-hmm. on the defensive side of the ball. Do you feel like you made some steps forward?
I do. I thought we made some steps in Moorhead, and then I thought we made some steps here against Marist, Larry. And I think the big thing was we had some third down stops, which we haven't done very often, and forced teams to punt. We had some broken up passes. We had some pressures on the quarterback there. It seems like what's the thorn in our side is big plays. We'll go 7, 8, 9 plays. Okay, looks very good. And then wham, all at once. And we talked about it as a defense. They had 4 explosive plays. That's it. And explosive plays are any runs over 20 and any passes over 25. 4. Not bad out of 60-some plays. But the bad thing is those 4 plays led directly to touchdowns. One was a touchdown, and then the other 3 were the ones that got them in position to score touchdowns. So that's where we have to take the next step, is less explosive plays, and if we do give up an explosive play, able to stop them before they get to the end zone.
They had the 73-yard touchdown pass. And was that a case? I mean, the guy, the quarterback, Austin Day of Marist, just kept – he kept the play alive.
Yes.
And was it more – was that – I mean, yeah, you gave up a 73-yard touchdown pass. Was it more of what they did as opposed to what your defense didn't do?
Exactly. And it was – our coverage was outstanding right at the start. And we almost had the sack. And that's where we got to get better when we have opportunities to make plays. And we are doing better. But that was one. We had a chance. We missed them all at once. Now the quarterback's running around. The receivers are taught. When they see that, they're going to start breaking their routes off and finding open spots. And that's exactly what happened to the Marist receiver. I could see it from the sideline. I could see him finding the deep middle there. And I was hoping that someone would start running back deep. And Easterling saw him late. But you got to give credit to Marist quarterback. He saw him too, and he got it there. And the guy didn't have to turn around and wait on it. It was thrown over his shoulder, and he was able to keep running after he caught it.
You know, a lot of times those guys on those scrambles like that, they'll come back towards the ball as opposed to going deeper.
Running deeper. And that young man, he and his quarterback were in sync on that one, because you could see – even on film, as the quarterback started going back the other way, he pulled up real fast because he saw the receiver running down the middle free.
Now the Dayton Flyers, with that win, go to 6-3 on the season and 4-2 in the Pioneer Football League. I talked with you after the game. You secured a winning season, which is important.
Yeah.
But you still have aspirations beyond that.
That's exactly right. A winning season here at Dayton is important to us. Now this is something like 42 out of the last 44 years we've had a winning season. But you don't want to just have a winning season. You don't want to have just an average season. You want to be better than that. That's what the expectations are here at Dayton. And we've got 2 more chances to build upon those 6 wins so that we're in the upper level of the PFL. They thought the preseason poll figured Dayton, San Diego were 1-2. And so we have that opportunity to finish out this season like they thought we would this year.
That next opportunity is at Drake coming up on Saturday, and Grant Dyer, a linebacker, Jay Valley tight end with us. And Grant, when you look at, you know, when you can count on one hand, you know, just how many games left, and really you can count on 2 hands how many practices you have left this year. You know, is there still an opportunity for this defense to grow over the next 2 weeks?
Yes, totally. We just need to treat every practice like it's a game, and just getting into your playbook, just watching film every single day, obviously not in class, but throughout the day, and listening in meetings and really getting to know what the coaches are saying and transferring that onto the field, and just being coachable when you're on the field is the number one thing besides all the weights and everything. Just, I think that's the number one thing, the getting better and, yeah, just being successful.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, the second time tonight you've talked about mental things, mm-hmm. mental approaches to the game, as opposed to talking about physical things doing. Is that maybe the greatest challenge for a football player at any level, really, is learning assignments, learning a game plan, learning all the types of things you have to learn?
Yeah, I totally think it is, and coming off of last year, I mean, I traveled with the team last year and everything, but – I didn't really get the defense that well, but coming into this year, having Coach Chamberlain as my position coach, it's really been great, and I've gotten to know the plays better and been more successful on the field.
You know, Jay, you guys are so been explosive on offense, but the other thing is you're very, very experienced. I mean, and have kept, knock on wood, relatively injury-free. I mean, you look at when you walk out in the huddle, you're seeing the same faces game after game after game. How important has that been to your consistency?
I mean, it's definitely helped a lot. You know, every single game we're in the huddle, we go to the line, we know exactly what we got to do. I think the biggest thing is we're all confident now. Probably confidence was one of my weaknesses a little while ago, but after that Morehead State game, when unfortunately we did have a few injuries, I got a lot more playing time than I usually did. And I think just after, you know, getting a couple plays in, kind of calming my nerves, kind of after that, it was just we were all rolling. We were feeding off of each other's good plays, good blocks, stuff like that. But yeah, just seeing how we're all, I mean, like you said, we've all been pretty healthy. Definitely helps. There's no question with that. We communicate really well. We know each other's tendencies, and I think that really helps us a lot.
Well, the Dayton Flyers with two more games to play and a big one coming up Saturday on the road at Drake. For my money, Dayton's rival in the league. I'm not consulted, but that's the way I feel. We'll talk about the Bulldogs. We'll learn more about Jay Valley and Grant Dyer. We've got lots to come here on the Rick Chamberlain Show, live from Milano's on Brown Street.
A winter weather advisory is in effect in our area. This is 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's news and talk. The WHIO Radio Storm Center has been activated. Updates every 15 minutes or sooner here on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's news and talk. The Rick Chamberlain Show, live from Milano's Pizza, Subs, and Taps on Brown Street near the UD campus. Hey. 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's news and talk. Here's the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
Hey, welcome back here to Milano's. Welcome back to the Rick Chamberlain Show, our final edition of this Flyer football season, which is heading into the home stretch. Dayton now 6-3 overall, 4-2 in the Pioneer Football League, playing at Drake this coming Saturday. A couple of quick announcements in regards to Flyer Athletics. Again, we make the change to basketball next Monday night for the first Anthony Grant Show of the Flyer basketball season. And Obi Toppin, Player of the Week in the A-10 after his career-high 29 points in the win over Indiana State. And also the announcement that freshman Mule Sissoko will redshirt this year, so he'll get a year to get acclimated. And speaking of Players of the Week, Matt Clifford of the Dayton Flyers, the Pioneer Football League Defensive Player of the Week for his performance in that 59-35 win over Marist on Saturday. But Drake coming up this week, and Coach, I say, you know, and the answers be different. Jay Valley, a tight end, and linebacker Grant Dyer, they may have a different answer when they're asked who is Dayton's rival. I know Coach Kelly, you ask him, he says Butler.
Yes.
I say Drake. Because I feel like, you know, ever since the Pioneer League formed, that Dayton, for many, many years, the road to the championship went through either Dayton or Des Moines.
Yes, and that's kind of how the rivalry, the respect for each one's program got started, because they were battles. And as you said, Larry, when the PFL was first started, there were six teams in there, and Dayton and Drake were always at the top there. And then as the expansion started, still Dayton and Drake were always at the top there, and great battles both out at Des Moines and here in Dayton. And I know the Drake people feel like Dayton's their number one rival, like a lot of schools. They look at the University of Dayton, and they feel like if we beat Dayton, we make a name for ourselves. That's how it is. Every team that we play against, I don't care if it's San Diego even, they talk about how important the Dayton game is. And I found out here just recently how important this game is to Drake through some people that have connections there and everything. They were telling me that Drake calls this Dayton Week. This is Dayton Week at Drake. You cannot wear anything red or white or blue the whole week. There was a freshman on the team that had a red book bag. And the team told him, you got to turn that book bag inside out. You cannot have that red showing this week. That's how they take it. That's how serious this game is to them, that they would call a whole week Dayton Week and have to limit their wardrobe on what they can wear during the week here.
Wow. Okay. So hey, I'm not the only one then that feels that the way that, I mean, there's been some great games through the years. Oh. And, you know, and after a 59-35 win over Marist, I can recall a Dayton Drake game where the final was 14-13 and it came down to a block extra point.
Yes.
Football's changed a little bit since then. The offenses, I think, have gotten a little bit of an edge on defense anymore. Not going to see a lot of 14-13 games. I don't care. In the PFL or anywhere.
No. It's just the way the game has evolved with the spread offenses and the athleticism. And I won't say the rules are geared towards the offense, but that's what people enjoy. They enjoy those high-scoring games and outstanding plays on both sides of the ball.
Well, we've got players from both sides of the ball with us here tonight. Tight end Jay Valley, who caught his first pass, his first touchdown pass as well in Saturday's win over Marist. And linebacker Grant Dyer, who led the Flyers in tackles in Saturday's win. And Jay, you know, you hear Coach tell a story about that Drake is calling this Dayton Week. In Flyer football, it's just whoever the next opponent is week.
Right, yeah. Every week we approach everyone the same. We don't place anyone higher than anyone else. The next game's always the most important game to us. I think we've always heard that. We've always been told that. That's how we feel. I mean, no matter who it is we're against, we're treating them as it's our biggest game, and we're going to attack it as such.
Grant, is the key there that, you know, you're not giving any opponent more emphasis, because that way you don't, quote, you know, look ahead, things like that. Is that a part of the mental preparation we talk about?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you just got to take every week the same, like Jay said. And ever since high school, I've always said to myself, like, they put on the same uniform the same way, and they prepare the same way. So just go out and play the same way, like, just transfer it onto the field like we've always said, and just play sound.
Coach, I want to talk about this team in general, and here we are, with just two games left in the season, 9 under your belt, 6 wins, and the 3 losses. Teams have an identity, but not just on Saturdays. What type of preparing team is this group?
It's a typical Dayton team, Larry, and I think a lot of it goes back to the young men that you recruit, those individuals where football's important to them. They're intelligent. They know how to study. They know how important it is, not just on the field, but before practice preparation that Grant talked about earlier, and your game planning, your scouting report, your film watching. Because we know how a lot of times, and you know this, Larry, we are not going to be the most athletic team out there against some of our opponents. And so our execution has to be right on point. And that comes through your preparation. And that's what this team has done. I really do. I've told them that the last few weeks especially, we've had very good weeks of preparation. We can tell when we're not really ready for a game, whether it's assignments or game plan, whatever it may be. We're always ready emotionally. Nobody overlooks or takes it easy, but mentally, are you ready for this game? And it's been a good year for this team in that aspect.
Jay Valley, you and Adam, upperclassmen, as far as the tight end room or the tight end group, how much do you guys try to, you know, bring those younger tight ends along, for lack of a better term, teach them the Dayton way?
Yeah, I mean, those younger guys, I mean, they all want to do well, and they show us that they work really hard every single day to to mold, to be molded into that, that form that we have. And, you know, they're always asking questions. We're explaining our schemes. Why are we running this route at 8 yards and not 6 yards or something like that? And we just kind of explain our whole mantra, if you will, just our mentality, how we're at it, and just the way we do things.
You got a new position coach this year.
We did.
Coach Jay Minton, who had a great high school head coaching career in Florida, and then obviously most recently at Wayne. But early on, was it kind of incumbent upon you and Adam to kind of coach up Minton a little bit to, okay, here's what it's like here?
Yeah, especially because he did come on pretty late after we were looking. So, I mean, at the beginning of camp, every night when we'd go through our install, like what plays we were going to go over the next day, he'd kind of go over them and then turn it over to us, and we'd basically explain what was going on. We'd draw it up. We'd turn. Anyone had questions, we'd answer those. It was pretty good because we did have a few guys coming back that were in their second or third season, had kind of a taste of the main chunk of our offense. I think we have three or four new guys. So it wasn't a ton. It wasn't a ton of guys that needed to learn everything from scratch. And thankfully, all of those guys caught on pretty quick. We didn't need to do a whole lot of teaching. They're all smart.
Now, Grant, as far as your position coach, have you had to do anything to bring him up to speed about what Flyer football is all about?
No, he is very well experienced here. And I was listening at the halftime and up on the scoreboard, and Andrew Lutyens was doing the question of the day. And I didn't know that he was here, that he's been here for 12 years. That's a while, at least coaching.
Oh, he's been here a lot longer
than
that.
He's been here as a head coach.
Hey, you know what? Pay attention to what he says. He is only the career tackles leader in the history of University of Dayton football.
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
He knows his stuff, okay? Yeah. I'm going to vouch for the coach. All right, well, we're going to learn more about Grant Dyer. We're going to learn more about Jay Valley and about the Drake Bulldogs. That's all coming up as we continue. The Rick Chamberlain Show, it's live at Milano's on Brown Street.
I've got nothing to hide. A winter weather advisory is in effect in our area. This is 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk. The Rick Chamberlain Show, live from Milano's Pizza, Subs, and Taps on Brown Street near the UD campus.
Hey.
1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk. Here's the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hansgen.
And good evening and welcome back to the Rick Chamberlain Show. If you're out and about tonight, please be careful, folks. And tomorrow morning, wake up to Miami Valley's morning news, and we'll let you know if there's any school delays or cancellations, plus the top news stories of the day. But for the time being, we're talking a little Dayton football here on our final edition of the Rick Chamberlain Show this season. And at this point in time, we like to learn more about our student athletes away from football. We got Grant Dyer, a linebacker from Northern Kentucky, a Covington Catholic grad. And what are you studying at the University of Dayton?
I'm studying Management Information Systems.
Management Information Systems with the thought of doing what?
Being more on the IT side of any business in the world, just transferring that technology stuff over to the business side.
So how did you, have you always been a tech-savvy type of guy growing up?
Yeah, I've always liked technology. I've always liked phones, like computers and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, just getting to know more of the business world is great.
So if you're not in class or on your phone or in the weight room, what's Grant Dyer do for fun?
I love to go boating. We have a lake house down at Williamstown Lake in Kentucky. And, do wakeboarding, surfing, and tubing and all that kind of stuff. And I like to go on vacation. And, I love the beach and everything. So
okay.
It's great.
Any class you've taken so far at the University of Dayton that really stands out as the most enjoyable one, or one that really resonates with you that you think you'll carry with you for a while?
Probably my business class that I'm in currently. I get to know like all the other sides of business, so like finance, accounting, and all that kind of stuff. but and management information systems, and just getting to know all those other things is great.
All right, Jay Valley is with us as well, a senior from Michigan, a tight end on the football field, but in the classroom, what's Jay Valley majoring in?
Mechanical engineering.
Okay, and I ask every mechanical engineer the same question, so you get it. You're probably prepared. You're a mechanical engineering major with the thought of making things or knowing how things are made so that you would be better prepared to sell them.
Definitely the latter. My dad's a financial advisor for Merrill Lynch. My brother also works with him. So, I mean, we're more of a business-oriented family. I'm a first-generation engineer. I actually was trying to go somewhere the technical sales route this summer. Ended up actually getting a pretty good offer with a project management company, which, I mean, once I learned what they had to do, I loved the thought of it. Sounds really fun. I think I'm going to enjoy that a lot.
Okay, great. So you got a job waiting for you, huh?
I do.
All right. Every college senior's dream come true. All right. So if you're not getting ready for your career out there in the business world, if you're not in the weight room or on the football field, what's Jay Valley do for fun?
I know Justin Caron was in here last week. He was telling me about our rock band concerts. I'm also into video games a lot. I just got that new Call of Duty game, so I've probably been spending a lot more time than I should be playing that the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, you got a job waiting for you. Yeah. Enjoy these hours while you can. Any class that really sticks out in your mind?
Actually my sophomore year it was called Engineering Innovations. The class consisted of two projects. One was like a base project. It was theoretical. There was a storm down in somewhere in tropical America, and they needed furniture that they could make out of cardboard that was cheap while their homes were getting fixed. And I ended up making a pretty sturdy table out of cardboard that I could actually stand on and jump on. And
whoa.
Being 240 pounds, I mean, that's could perfect. Hold a few things.
Yeah.
And then the second project, we actually had a real customer come to our teacher and ask for help. It was Therapy Connections somewhere around here. The project we ended up doing was actually helping kids who had who were lacking upper body strength. What they do is they play with Play-Doh to kind of just work their muscles in their hands and kind of get their coordination together. And our job was to figure out a way to let them open the can without obviously grabbing very hard because they couldn't.
Right.
And so I ended up using a 3D modeling program to make it was like a can opener. They could just slip their hand into it and put it on the Play-Doh can and just kind of like move their hand to the right and the can would pop right off. And I think they said that they were going to actually use it, so... I haven't heard anything back, but they liked it pretty much when we showed it to them.
Okay. Far and away, the best answer we've got to that question.
Right, you know? Of a class there.
Yeah, usually it's like, like George DeMarco's class. Which, understandably, a lot of people do like that. All right, Coach, according to the people in Des Moines, it's Dayton Week. As Dayton gets ready for Drake, what can you tell us about this edition of the Bulldogs?
Typical Drake team, Larry. You know, you've seen them over the years. Big, first of all. Big, physical guys up front on the offensive line, on the defensive line. It's going to be a very physical game. That's how they like it. They play hard. They play tough. Big tight ends. Probably one of the better tight ends in the conference. Close, not as good as Adam, but he's very, very close there. Freshman quarterback, and he has gotten better every game. So he's playing pretty good right now. But I think the hallmark of Drake has always been their defense.
Yeah.
Their defense. This is going to be a challenge for our offense because they're going to try to stop the run, but they're still athletic enough in the secondary to control your passing. So our offense, they move the ball against Drake. That'll be an outstanding game for us.
You know, that maybe it goes back to something that I mentioned earlier, how important is it that Dayton has been able to diversify on offense that, first of all, has given Drake an awful lot to prepare for?
Yes. Yes. I mean, like I said, all the different looks and motions, as Jay was talking about, and then the weapons, this guy, that guy. So I know they'll be up to it. They always look forward to playing Dayton. It's going to be a very emotional day. It might be their senior day. I'm not sure, but it may be their senior day, and that's a very special day for a football program, so that'll just add to it.
Now, one thing Drake will have to prepare for is the fact that the Dayton Flyers are the one football team in Ohio that can properly execute a shovel pass with success. We'll take a little shot at my Cleveland Browns for their ineptitude in that area. But, so it's a big week, guys. And Jay, I, when Coach was talking about their defense, every word he said, you were nodding your head. You were like, yep. So what have you seen on film about their defense that impresses you?
Definitely their defensive front. Their line is, with being big, they are also dynamic. I was watching one of their linemen was doing swim moves. He was doing receiver releases on the offensive line, something that, you know, we don't see every week. So those guys are definitely hungry. They want to get to the quarterback. They want to get in the backfield. They definitely want to beat you a lot more than other people have in the past. And I just was watching that, and I was just kind of putting the back of my head how hard they play, and that definitely, like I said, getting our hands where they need to be and our feet where they need to be definitely needs to be a priority on all of our lists this week.
Football's a team game, but on Saturday, is it a collection of individual one-on-one battles at times?
Yes and no. It starts out at that, and then it turns into a community. We'll start off going to our assignment, going to our gap. But then if we happen to see, I need to get that guy, or like last week, there was a guy in one play where I don't think it technically was who I was supposed to block, but I saw that he was going to get to the ball before my guy was. So I kind of let that guy go, and when it got to the right guy. Mm-hmm. And I think kind of like that, we see where we need to be. We need to get our blocks in between the defender and the ball. And
Grant, as the defense gets ready, as you get ready for Drake, the physical aspect on the offensive side of the ball, are you seeing that as well by the Bulldogs?
Yeah, totally. Like Coach said, they are big. The receivers are probably the tallest and most thick guys that we have seen this year. And we have to show that as well. But we have to bring it mentally and physically. And unlike other games, we have to prepare better and transfer that onto the field. And yeah. Yep.
All right. Coach, your point of emphasis this week, getting ready for that game at Drake.
Well, I tell you, Larry, I don't know if I need to push anything in particular. Just the same thing that we've been doing the last couple of weeks. We've played well these last two games there in a lot of areas. And we just keep the consistency going and harping on it and preparing. And I don't think I have to talk much about how physical Drake is going to be, because the guys can see it on film. But we're going to make sure our scout teams try to emulate as well as possible how hard these guys come off.
All right. Well, it wraps up this edition of the Rick Chamberlain Show, this season of the Rick Chamberlain Show. But two games left to play, the aforementioned game at Drake before the home finale a week from Saturday against the Butler Bulldogs. And, of course, Mike Kelly and I will have all the action from Des Moines coming up Saturday. It's a 2 o'clock kickoff Dayton time. We'll start our pregame coverage at 1:30. On behalf of our engineer-producer tonight, Kevin Lemaire, our student-athletes, Grant Dyer and Jay Valley, and the coach, Rick Chamberlain, I'm Larry Hanskin. Have a great week, everyone, and go Flyers.
A winter weather advisory is in effect in our area. This is 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's news and talk. From our downtown Dayton McAfee Heating and Air Studios, WHIO AM Dayton, WHIO FM Pleasant Hill, a Cox Media Group station.